If the fire police come on up, yes, I'm begging.
Open-minded. Seth and Nicole Stokes with us. They're missionaries to Vanuatu. Macy, right here. Of course, everybody knows who Macy is. What did you spend one night out there with them? Two nights? What did you sleep in? I love getting calls from Macy on her trip. You know, one of them was the door won't lock in Peru, and I'm thinking, wait till you get to Vanuatu. You're not even going to have a door. You know, they said that the ladies gave them some kind of meat that was a delicacy. And I asked Macy, I said, were you scared? And she said, scared to death. You know, could you imagine taking a young girl from Scott County and dumping her in a jungle like that? We just heard a little bit about what the people were like and the culture like there, that the men you wear loincloths made out of bark, but the bark was uncomfortable, so they switched to cloth. You know, that is so foreign to our thinking that people today still live like that, right? That people live in a place where there's no store, where they have no car, they're never going to own a car, you know, they don't have any furniture in their house. That is so odd to think that, other than on TV, that even exists, right? But these folks are here. God's called them to be missionaries there and to translate the Bible into their language. He's going to share just a little bit more about that here in just a minute. Jake mentioned, what was the guy's name? Billy Lau lost his grandson that was 9 years old this weekend. Mark's brother, your brother Mark lost a son this week. There's a lot of hurt in our community, so you want to make sure you pray for those families. Sheila wanted to thank the church for being kind and giving towards the headstone for Jackie, and she wanted me to thank you guys for that, and it's a blessing to be a part of that. And listen, you know, this dumb COVID thing, unfortunately, is not going away. It's still putting pressure on ministries everywhere. Everybody's feeling that. And I'm just thankful that you're here today and we get an opportunity to worship the Lord together and just pray that he works in our heart today. Chris had a visitor today. There's two visitors in the back. We're glad to have both of those families. And one of them, Chris, invited the church today. So you get a chance to go back and meet them. And I think that's all the announcements I have. Brother Ronnie.
All right. If everybody please stand and get a hymn book and turn to hymn number 228. Our brother deacons come forward to receive the morning offering. Brother Michael, would you ask blessing and offering first?
So those of you who are here this morning got to hear the early morning greeting. That's like the early morning just woke up greeting. That's like our midday greeting. That's 11 o'clock. It's a little bit different down here in the south to have a little bit of a later service. So thank you very much for coming. My name is Seth. This is my wife, Nicole. We are missionaries to the country called Vanuatu. Vanuatu, and it's a real country. Most of you learned about that this morning. If you didn't know that, you guys sent two of your young ladies there, whether you know it or not. Macy and Emily, they were there, and they survived somehow. Great job. I don't think they had any ailments from our country, which is rare, so we need to do a little bit harder job on them next time. So don't let my accent fool you. Yes, I am from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's how we have a lot of connections with Pastor Barnhouse, Harvest Baptist Church, Pastor Kurt Skelly. I was born in Chattanooga, so I do have my southern roots there. So a lot of ways like that. My wife, she's a missionary kid, so if you ask her where she's from, it's complicated. Just say she's from New Jersey, but she grew up in another country. She uses that excuse all the time with us. And so we serve in the country called Vanuatu. And we serve specifically the people, the Tiale people. So what we do is we do Bible translation. We do a lot of discipleship on the national level with our guys. And then also we actually run a Bible college. And it's a real place. A couple of your girls got to see where it's at. And if you don't know where Australia is, I can't actually give you any point of reference anymore. But ask one of the kids or get a Google map. You'll find out that Australia is right there in the South Pacific. Go a little northeast, and that's where we're at in the country of Vanuatu. We live in the middle of the jungle. And when I say middle of the jungle, I'm not talking like, okay, we're in the mountains here. I'm saying in the middle of the jungle, 3 hours away from anything. No store, kids, no Wi-Fi, things like that. No running water. We use solar panels. We collect rainwater, purify it to drink it. We live that remote. So we live in a place where, like Pastor referenced, men typically wear what's called loincloths. And then women sometimes will wear skirts and other things, especially for like cultural events, they'll wear leaves. And so we live in a place that's predominantly animistic, meaning that they worship spirits and they worship ancestors. And that's what they do. And they don't have access to God's word yet. They have not been controlled by the spirit. They have not grown past these fundamental beliefs. And so what we do is we're in the process of learning their language. We moved in there in 2016. We did a process of surveying the people, learning about them. And then there were actually other places asking us to go there, asking us to be their missionary. I'm going to give a story at the end of my presentation a little bit about that. But know that God is still calling people. God is still using people. So God is still drawing people to his name. And we serve one of the 2,600 unreached people groups in the world. There are 2,600 unreached people groups in this world. We are blessed in America. We are blessed beyond measure as English-speaking Christians that we have a Bible, both the Old Testament and New Testament, in our heart language. Did you know that there are 7,000 different distinct languages in this world, and only 600 of them have a completed Bible in their language? Only 600, less than 10% of the world has a completed Bible in their heart language. There is about 1,000 languages in the world that have the New Testament. There's a lot of works in progress, but there are still 2,600 unreached people groups in this world that have no Bible, not a verse referenced yet translated in their heart language. And I'm going to show you what that looks like here in a moment here. But we get a little bit numb to that, right? That number, we're Americans. We don't look at numbers as real. And I'm going to show you this list now and hopefully just set the stage, if I may. This is what it looks like. I had this open early in the first service, and it would go out your front door and run it that way. But this is what it looks like when you put 2,600 unreached people groups on a piece of paper, 12-point font, non-obtrusive photography, no double spacing, all single spacing, and this is laminated. So at the end of the service, feel free to come up here and look at it, because this is a real thing, and our job is to go to all the nations and to preach the gospel to all of them, and yet not all the nations have been reached yet. These are just numbers. These are just people. This is 34% of the population of the world. This represents 2.9 billion people. Sometimes we get numb, a little bit numb, and we get a little complacent, and we forget about our calling. We get a little bit focused sometimes. And I'll be a little bit transparent and honest with you. Sometimes we get a little too focused on these peripheral things, focusing a little bit too much on if I should wear a mask or not today. We forget about the main calling. is to reach people in the middle of the world with the gospel for the first time. We get to hear the gospel every day. We're going to hear a message shortly here by Pastor Barnhouse, and we get blessed. And if you don't like Pastor Barnhouse, I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you don't, you can go online and you can listen to other people, right? You can hear other messages by other people. We are blessed beyond measure. Amen. We live in a country where there's 110 different distinct language groups. When we surveyed the Tiale people in 2016, we had other people asking for us to move to them. When we lived in Papua New Guinea for 2 years, we had people asking for us to be their missionaries. There's a drawer of 100 plus requests specifically asking for missionaries there. God is still working. The laborers are few. The harvest is plenty. That's why they're asking. God has prepared their hearts. It's our job to get to them. So what we do is we're in the process of translating the Bible into their heart language. We are in the process of learning. We've already translated the many song books, about 24 of them in 2018, into the Tiale language. Now we have people for the first time praising God in their heart language. We have other worshipers, brothers and sisters in Christ, people praising God in another language. And so hopefully we'll have the process of translating next year, because we're going to go back in November, Lord willing. There's this thing called COVID. This has made a little hiccup across the world. I don't know if you heard of it or not. But that's what's kind of why we've been delayed going back. And so we'll be going back in November. And then we'll be in the process of doing that. We have a Bible college that's currently running. I've trained 3 different teachers. And now they're taking the curriculum that I wrote, that I translated. And now they're using that same teaching now and teaching multiple students. There's about 14 to 16 new Bible school students this year. My goal is to hopefully make it autonomous in the future. And it'll be about 5 to 7 years to be autonomous with a 6-year curriculum development and be able to train pastors and leaders and teachers to go out back to their own places. We have this process of having them come here. We train them, we teach them, we ordain them, we send them back to their place, build a church building, and then now they can feed their own people and be the best missionaries because they're from that people. The Tiale people are 36 different villages across the main island there in Espiritu Santo. And we've been to about 18 of those. And we have a gospel presence, pretty strong one, in 7 of those 18. And 4 real strong churches of the 7. And so God is doing a great work there. And God is moving the people. My wife has many different Bible studies with the ladies. Many young women making decisions of faith. Many young women, in a sense, going against the cultural norm. Because the cultural norm says, dad and mom, pick your spouse. But they're saying, hey, dad, hey, mom, you can't pick my spouse for me because there's no other believing men in this area. And I have to be married to a Christian. The Bible says that. So they won't even pursue a fickle relationship anymore because they know the Bible's commanded them to pursue a person of like faith. And now the parents now, for the first time ever in the history of mankind, are put in a cultural worldview conundrum. They have to believe their culture, but also the Bible's true as well. So now they're wrestling with trying to find a believing spouse for their future, for their daughter. It's an amazing thing to be a part of, to see the Bible impact the culture and changing them for the better in that regards. And so that's just a privilege that we get to be a part of. And hopefully I want to encourage you with this last story before you get to see our video. You'll see me with shaved head. That's usually what I have over there because it's about 100, 120 degrees for about 9 months of the year. And so it's pretty hot, so I don't really keep my hair too long over there, Pastor. So I do that here in America because my wife likes it long for the pictures or whatever. But know that God is still working and calling people. This is an interesting way. We have this extra wing over here. I like to look at people in the face. I have to keep looking over here. You guys exist. So God is still calling people. As I said, many missionaries have, before they go into a place, they have to do surveys. They have to survey people and see who's wanting to hear the gospel, and what's the reasoning, as best you can, you have to figure it out. And so one day, a missionary surveyed, I'm not that person right now saying I'm talking about a missionary himself, it's another missionary in another location. And so he's surveying different places. I like hearing the kids in this church, it reminds me of being in the bush, Pastor. So as he's surveying these different places, the mission wants to ask the question, why are these hundreds of people gathered together? What's going on? And he's about to ask the questions, and the chief says, hold up, wait. Wait, we'll answer that question later. And they're all sitting down like this. They're all sitting down. This is how they sit. And about a span of a half hour, an hour passes. And they all get up, and the chief says, okay, you can go your different ways. So they go their different ways. And now the missionary, through translator, is able to ask them questions now. Say, hey, what were you guys doing? What was going on there? And the chief says, we don't have a missionary yet in our heart language, but we know that people people that have missionaries and have the Bible, the Creator's talking in their heart language. They meet together on Sundays, and they talk about the Creator. We don't have the Creator's talk yet in our heart language. We're just practicing. Guess what? This was on a Sunday. They were practicing church. They didn't have God's word yet. They had no pastor. They had no preacher. They had no one to tell them about God's word yet. They were practicing. And then, so the missionary is talking some different things and asking, this is the remote mountains of Indonesia. And they're going, why did you guys make this airstrip? This is the place. There's no steel mill. There are no nice chainsaws where they're at. There's no tractor supply. Then why did you guys do this? Why didn't you make an airstrip? They said, well, we built this airstrip 40 years ago. We've been asking for missionaries for 40 years. We know that missionaries, they meet together on Sundays, they talk about the Creator, and they also, they like airstrips because that's how like missionaries like to come and go. So they asked the missionary, said, will you be our missionary? And of course that missionary said yes. March of this past year, that missionary finally learned the language, translated the Bible, parts of the Bible into their language, and presented the gospel for the first time ever to them. Guess what? Now you and I have brothers and sisters in Christ in another language. God is still calling people. The problem is that this list still exists. And it's to our shame. This list is called the sad list. You know why? Because it should make you sad when you look at it. If you don't look at this and you're not saddened, if you don't feel shameful that our God, our Creator, gave us a command 2,000 years ago to reach these people and we have yet to do it, I would challenge you that you're maybe not taking your faith seriously enough. So I'm going to leave this up here for at the end of the service. Please feel free to look at it. It's real. No dancing. I'm pretty sure the pastor would be upset. This is a Baptist church. Thank you very much for your time. I think we're going to show our video now. And thank you very much. We'll be there for the afterwards as well.
Hi, we are Seth and Nicole Stokes, your missionaries in Vanuatu to the Tiale People Group.
Thank you so much for your faithfulness in supporting us in our ministry. We have been here since 2016, and we have been blessed to be a part of the ministries here in Big Bay, especially the Tiale People. We've been involved in many things, such as humanitarian acts, such as working with water projects and building houses. But our main job is to do Bible translation, discipleship, and training pastors. And we also work here at the Bible school as well. So one of the main things we do is teach several students, and we've finished 2 years of the Bible college already. And one of the sad things in this country is that there are no Bible colleges in the national language, Bishlama. And so one of the things that we do is a lot of curriculum development, which I personally transcribe and write into the national language and then teach them how to understand those teachings. Also, the main thing we're also doing is focusing on is learning the Tiale language and now translating it. We have translated several song books, and it's an amazing thing to hear people hear and praise our Lord and Savior in their heart language. It's an amazing thing. Also, we've started doing some translation work as well. Another blessing that we've done is be a part of several pastors who were here before we arrived and develop them and train them. And I meet with them weekly, just training them and discipling them and maturing them. But also we got to train 3 new young men to be pastors. And we just officially ordained one of them. And he's doing an amazing work in a very hard place. And just continue to pray for him as well. His name is Frankie. And it's an amazing thing to be a part of all the processes here. And we're constantly doing discipleship, whether it be with the older generation or the younger generation.
And I have several different Bible studies that I meet with the ladies and the young girls throughout the week to help them understand God's word and help them to know who he is and deepen their walk with him.
Hello. My name is Pastor Gabriel. I am from Matale Village. I look after the church here at Matale. I want to say a big thank you to God for sending Seth and his wife Nicole to us. They teach us how to do God's work, the ministry, They teach us how to be disciples of Jesus. And they are translating the Bible into our language, the Tiale language. I want to say a big thanks to God and to your church for sending those two to our place.
Thank you so much for your support and for your prayers. We couldn't do this without you.
Thank you so much. We love you all.
All right. Enjoyed that. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And also, you know, you think about, we oftentimes just see the missionary. I know Maggie did that several times. You know, I would go in and be the one that's asked to preach because ladies don't preach. You know, and oftentimes I'm the face of what we do, when in essence I couldn't do anything without my wife. And certainly that's true in pastoring, and even more true on the mission field. And Nicole, because I have a wife that's lived in a rough place, I just want to tell you thank you, because he wouldn't be able to do that, right? And it's you pray for this young couple. That is, they're in a difficult place. How many of you, your walk with the Lord is everything to you? Give me an amen. Guys, that's pretty weak. Let's try that again. If your walk with the Lord is everything to you, give me an amen. Amen. That's much better. Not going to convince many people with the first one, right? I mean, but the idea is, if you really mean that, what would you take for your faith? Somebody offered you $1 million, would you take that $1 million? Does it actually sustain you? Does it get you by when you have a hard day? When your heart's broken, does it help you? When you're tempted, does it sustain you? Is it valuable to you other than just going to heaven? Is it your friend? Is it your comforter? Do you lean on it? Does it support you? Well, if it does, just understand there's people that don't have that. And sometimes people in America don't have it because they don't want it. They've been presented with the gospel and had an opportunity to trust them, and they'll refuse a track, or they'll drive by a church today, or they'll shut off a radio program because they just don't want to hear it. But there are people in places that don't lean on it because they don't know it. It would be like me trying to explain my faith to Greg in Spanish. I could say all kinds of words, and he, every once in a while, he'll try a couple of Spanish, and I'm thinking, he makes fun of me because he doesn't think I know a little bit, but I can tell you, he listens to Greg, cracks me up, you know. He couldn't get anything out of it. I could preach a 45-minute message, or somebody can in Spanish to him, and he'll just sit there just like I do, and you know, get nothing out of it. I have sat in church services before because I don't know the language, and I read my Bible because everybody gets up and they're shouting and they're crying. I don't know what they're crying over because I didn't understand a word they said. You know, you're going to have to ask God back in the Tower of Babel why he did what he did. But he knew that when he split those languages, he knew that one day somebody would have to go to those languages with the gospel. He didn't look back and go, boy, maybe I shouldn't have created so many languages because this is a tough task to do. He knew that when he sent him away with however many languages happened at the Tower of Babel. You know, so I am very thankful to be around young people that felt the call to go to a place like this. The romance of the adventure wears off real fast, and then you're just down to flat reality. This is where you live. You know, getting home is not easy, and we still need 2,600 more couples like that to get this list accomplished, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, that our faith is something that we do lean on. Father, before we even go any further in the Bible this morning, I want to tell you thank you for who you are. Lord, as we approach a God in heaven, we realize you're a holy God, and Lord, we can't take our sin before you, so we ask that you would forgive us. Forgive us for where we failed you this week, where our flesh got the best of us. Lord, we put that in front of you, knowing that there's an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ, Lord, that makes intercession for us. And Lord, I just want to thank you, Father, for that. Lord, I pray you take away the weight of the world and all the things that distract us, and that you would just have us to take just a few minutes to think about you and let the Word of God soak into us and help us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, and I want to just pick up with just a little bit of this down to verse 9. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "It is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be a captain over his inheritance." And this is talking about Samuel with Saul and going to be the king of Israel. "When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men in Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelah, and they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?'" Saul was out looking for his father's donkeys that had gotten away, but God used those donkeys to lead him across the path of Samuel, who at that time was going to anoint him to be king. So Saul knew at this moment, and that's a fascinating story. We don't have time to go through it, but when God was picking Saul to be king, he needed him to meet Samuel. He used these donkeys that got away from his dad. He'd been looking for him for days. It just put him in the right place at the right time to meet Samuel. Samuel then tells Saul what the plans were going to do and what God was going to have him do. See, at this moment, you know, God was, in fact, Saul even said this. He said, "Who am I? I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I am the least of the least. Why would you pick somebody like me out of my father's house? Nobody knows who he is. Why would you ask me to do that?" Saul realized that the job that God wanted them to do was something that he was not prepared to do. He was not able to do it. He did not have the expertise to do that, especially to do it the way that God wanted him to do it. So God was obviously going to have to help him. And Samuel was going to send him along his way. And I want you to go down to verse 6. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man." He's telling Saul, as you go on this journey and you meet these prophets, it says here in verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man." Every one of us, even though you may not be called to be king of Israel, may I tell you something? We cannot do God's work with the same heart we had before we got saved. And that heart change happens multiple. You get saved once, but after that, he continues to work on your heart. And to me, it's just amazing. God told him, "What you're going to do, you can't do it unless I make you another person." I am so glad that when I met Jesus Christ, he made me another person. The other one you wouldn't have liked. The other one was self-centered. The other one only cared about himself. Sin is very, very selfish by nature. Sin makes decisions based on only one person, not taking into account what it does to other people. And I am so glad when Jesus Christ saves us that there is a work that happens inside of our heart. There is something. The old heart is still there. The old man is still there. He just gives us a new man. He gives us a new heart. If you're here today and you've never been made into another man or another person, anything else that I would try to help you with isn't going to work. To tell a lost person on how to improve his marriage or how to raise his children or how to fix any problem that life might give him, the only answers I have for him are biblical answers, and they will do no good unless you've been made another person. They only work if you're a new creature in Christ. they're only going to mean something to you if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing that I'm going to give you out of this Bible is going to mean anything to you. It's not going to be able to help you. It's not going to be able to sustain you, because it's not going to mean anything to you. You're not going to understand it. You're going to have to be a new creature in Christ. And that's the miracle that God does when we get saved. He has to do a work in our heart to cause us to be drawn towards spiritual things. We cannot do that without Him doing that work inside of us. And you know what? Once He does that work, do you know that your heart, that new heart that He gave you, that new person that He made you, can still be affected by the things of this world? He gives you a great starting out point. He gives you a relationship with Him, but that relationship with Him can get cold. That relationship with Him can become distant. That relationship with Him can be affected by sin, and we still need to let God do a work in our heart. That heart that He creates, the only person that can renew it, the only person that can revive it, the only person that can help heal it, is the person who made it, the person that gave it to you. And as he's going here, he's telling Saul, what you're going to do, you can't do the way you are. In order for you to do what you're going to do, I'm going to have to make you another man. The second sin entered this world. Listen, guys, it is difficult. Why? Because I told you 100 times, you're under a curse. Of course, life. If life is not difficult inside, deep down where you live, then something's wrong. Because you are broken by nature, the fact we are born sinners. The only thing that can help that is a spiritual transformation that can happen to nobody through other than Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do that. And he was telling Saul, Saul, in order for what you're going to do, to in order to be king, you know what's sad? We all know what happened to Saul. Brother Lloyd, isn't it amazing that right here I knew he had everything he needed to be successful? He had everything he needed to make the story go different. Because I know God made him another man. He had, now some people don't even believe Saul was a believer. I have a hard time, you know, going down that road only because of this. Because he said he made him another man. Okay? So he gave them the tools. When you got saved, God gave you everything you needed to be successful in your relationship with him. If that relationship has grown cold, that's our fault. If that relationship has gotten rocky, that's our fault. If we've become indifferent to the things of God, we're the ones that allowed that to happen. Because he set us up for success by having a relationship with him. He tore down the barrier between me and him. That barrier was that veil in the temple. I can go directly to God myself. I don't have to go through anybody. Everybody in this room that is a born-again believer, at any time you want to, can talk to your Heavenly Father. At any time that you want to, you can get help from him. At any time you want to, you can lean on him. At any time you want, he can sustain you if you want that. If that's not the way it is, it's not because he failed to do the job the first time. It's because we've let that heart get affected by the things of the world. We understand how Saul, do you know God had to reach down and take the kingdom from Saul because of his disobedience, understanding that at that moment he had everything he needed to have in order to be a king the way God wanted him to be a king. He didn't have to fail. He didn't have to take God out of it. He chose to do that, but he had everything he needed for that to be successful. Once you go on, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. When we get saved, we understand that there's a relationship with God that begins. He is with us. He does not leave us. We're the one that leaves him. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt sacrifices, sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. So when God got through talking to him, he said, I'm going to make you another man. How did he make him another man? He gave him a new heart. Now that heart, I understand that salvation, the way it somebody in the Old Testament put their faith and trust in God, would look a little different than what we would do today, but it's all through Jesus Christ. There's no way you're getting away from that. Without a doubt, right there, it said, when he turned away, God gave him a new heart. That can be looked at in multiple ways. One of them is a relationship with him. The next thing is this, gave him a heart for his people. Does no good for a king to go. And he said, listen, those are my people you're going to govern. Those are my people that you're going to lead. And in order to do that, you're going to have the same heart that I have. To care about this list, do you think anybody in the lost world, do you think anybody in National Geographic cares that there's 2,600 people without a Bible? Do you think they care? Do you think anybody that believes in evolution cares about this list? By the way, evolution is absolutely 100% the dominating belief of the world that we live in. Outside of the Bible Belt of America, most people in this country believe that it just happened with a series of events. We happen to be odd, believing that God made it. Do you think they care about this list? Do you know the only reason why you should care about this list? Is because God cared about you. And you can't do that without God doing a work in your heart. It is not natural for some young lady to want to go live in a jungle and eat bats. That's not natural. You can't do that. It's not natural to leave your family. It's not natural to be able to get on an airplane and fly thousands of miles and deal with the difficulties. The only way you can do that is something happens to have to happen in your heart. Listen, in this county, there was a very sad story this very week. People will read it, and there's something wrong with our country. That a 9-year-old would even know how to do that. That is very sad. And in our county, or within miles of our county, in the shadow of churches everywhere, that happened. Now, some people will just read it and go, but man, how can that not affect your heart? It depends on where your heart's at, right? Not everybody cares. We're supposed to care because God cared for us. We're supposed to care. You know, there are people that are married when their heart's not in it. There are people that have kids that do not have the heart of their kids. There are people that go to work and their heart's not in it. There are people that come to church and they sit every Sunday, but their heart's not there. And I'll be honest with you, I've sat in church services before and my heart wasn't there. I've been in church services before, walked out just as cold as I walked in. And let me tell you something, the person who had the problem was me. I'm the one that had the problem. I mean, it's really easy to get there. It's really easy just to go through the most. How many times have you opened up the Bible simply because you know you need to open up the Bible, but you can honestly say your heart's not in it? Or you're praying because you just simply know you need to pray, but your heart's not in it. Not only does God give you a new heart when you get saved, but you know what? We continually need to take our heart to the one that created it and say, hey, do a work here. I don't want to be like this. I don't care. And I don't want to be like that. I don't feel that. I don't want to be like that. It's not bothering me. Why isn't it bothering me? Why is my heart not in my family? Why is my heart not in my marriage? Why is my heart not in my relationship with God? Then you take that heart to Him, because He's the one that does the work in it to begin with. What did David say in Psalms 51? After he had had an affair and committed adultery and then murdered somebody, what did he say to God? He said, he didn't go to his friend and said, hey, Jake, can you help me out? Man, I'm really in a low spot. He went to God and said, God, create in me. That means you do a work inside of me that only you can do. Create in me. He didn't say a new heart. He already had that. He said, man, what I need you to do today, I need you to take this heart you gave me, and I've defiled it. Can you clean it up? He said, create in me a clean heart. He put it out to God and said, God, I need you to do a work in my heart. Sean's mentioned many times in Ezekiel the verse about the stony heart, a heart that becomes so hardened because of the effects of this world. And he said, God, create in me a heart of flesh. Soften that. Break my heart. You hear this song all the time, break my heart, Lord, for what breaks yours? You know what breaks his heart? 9-year-old boys. That's what breaks his heart. A world down here that has gone absolutely out of control. People hurting people. Every day a police officer gets shot. Every day there's you know, right here in Tennessee at a Kroger. How many of you shop at Kroger? I'm going to make Maggie start carrying a gun at Kroger. Do you know that's in Tennessee? 14 people shot in a grocery store in Tennessee. Now, because it was in Scott County, because we don't even have a Kroger, you know, you think, well, we all shop at Kroger. And we live in a crazy world. Somebody walk in there with a gun, shoot 14 people. This place is out of control. And may I tell you something? The only person that, I mean, we live there. Our heart can get very sick. Our heart can get cold. Let me read this to you. It's kind of like this list laying on the floor. I don't have time to look at all of these things. I want to listen. These are adjectives that go with conditions of our heart. There's a merry heart, sorrowful heart, haughty, a fretting heart, despiteful heart, bitter heart. There's a new heart, there's a stony heart. There's an uncircumcised heart, a meek heart, a lowly heart, an honest heart, a troubled heart, a single heart, a foolish heart, an evil heart, a true heart, a melted heart, a deceitful heart, a whorish heart, a troubled heart, covetous, broken, contrite, grieved, discouraged, proud, wicked, trembling, tender, pure, upright, clean, perverse, wise, and merry. I might have repeated a couple of them twice. That is just a small list of all the adjectives that describe a certain condition of our heart. Some of them are good, a lot of them are negative. Those are all places that our heart can go. Our heart can be bitter. Our heart can be sad. Our heart can be broken. Our heart can be evil. Our heart can be wicked. All of these things that our heart can do, we have to understand that if they're going to be fixed, you're going to have to take it to God. The only cure for a wicked heart is God. The only cure for a broken heart is God. The only cure for a troubled heart is God. He's the one that can do the surgery on it that you need. It is a heart condition. He told him, listen, when you walk away, as soon as he walked away, God did. I mean, it even went on to say that after he got that new heart, he started prophesying. When he began to prophesy, the people said that Saul was with the prophets, that something happened to him. That would be like all of a sudden Greg coming tonight and preaching the evening service. You would be like, what happened? Okay? Immediately you would say, whoa, that is something God did. did. Me getting up here and doing it, you expect me to do that. But for Saul to start going out with the prophets, what happened? God gave him a new heart. That new heart caused him to think about things different than what he did before. All throughout the Bible, people's hearts get affected along the way. I tell you what, oh, Peter, he had a troubled heart. There's a fearful heart. Peter had a fearful heart. And at that time, there was something inside of him that caused him to feel the way he did. And the only cure for where he was at was God doing a work in his heart. That's the only cure. And the world that we live in today with all the problems. Listen, guys, we can't say we don't have problems. We can't say. And you know what? Scott County is probably one of the better places on the planet. And you know what you find in Scott County? You got a beautiful community. Everybody knows everybody. It's in the country. You got family everywhere. You know, birthdays are celebrated. People live to an old. But do you know in this county you still have broken homes? In this county you still have stories that are sad. In this county there's still, Greg, in our county, they actually shipped food into our county from other counties to take care of the poor people in this county because they know there's people in this county that need that. So you know what we have? There's no sense pretending that we don't need God to do a work in our heart. There's no sense, and you can continue to try to do it on your own. You can continue to try to fix that spot on your own. You will, I don't care what you throw at it. Nothing's going to fix it unless you take it to God and say, God, I need you to do something in here. Why don't I care? Right? Why am I not concerned? Why have you ever just stopped feeling something? Can you get it at a point where you no longer feel? What about, I just got out of this mission conference, and in Indonesia, the missionary that was there was saying that the people in Indonesia come from a Buddhist background. They don't sing. They didn't know what songs were. So when the missionary told them what a song was, they started singing. And he said that in Indonesia, you can't go through a song service without people crying. Because they can't, you know what they told them? They said they don't know about America. They don't know that people can sing a song and not mean it. Oof. That was a little convicting. He said that people in Indonesia don't realize you can actually go to church, sing about amazing grace, not mean it. To sing about, you know, the cross and it not affect your eyes. To sing about how good God is and it just be words out of your mouth because you don't feel anything. You can get there really easy. In fact, a lot of Christianity is filled with that. It's not about a feeling, but may I tell you something? It is about your heart, right? And if you've got a heart issue on any of these adjectives, the only person that can possibly help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is okay to come up here and bend a knee and say, God, why don't I care about this list? Right? I mean, there's people all the time do things for God and their heart's not in it. Why don't I care about? You can go, listen, years of counseling people, I have sat down with marriage after marriage where you got two people and their heart isn't in it. They're not necessarily bad people, but you're trying to resurrect something that they once felt and you're almost helpless at it because you can't do that. The only person that can do that is the Lord. But it's very sad when you realize that they just walk out that door and the people in that room, their heart is not in it. Man, I've tried to help. There'll be one spouse that wants me to reach out to another spouse and they'll say, please, can you go talk to them? Out of desperation, you try. But here's the deal. I can go talk to them until I'm blue in the face. But unless God does a work in their heart, it's not going to matter. I've had parents come to me and say, please, will you go talk to my kid? Will you please? They're not interested in spiritual things. Maybe if you sat down and talk to them, but may I tell you something? I am not the answer. I mean, I can do that, and I'd be more than glad to do that. But the real change comes when that young person does with their heart what the prodigal did with their heart. Amen. I can't do that inside of somebody. I can't call caused that to happen inside of somebody. But the one that put the heart there to begin with, he can do that. And when that happens, you can't deny it. You know, let me just share this with you and we'll close. You know, it's kind of these two contrasting verses real quick. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The Bible says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, we've all heard that verse. It's kind of depressing, but this is a biblical explanation of our heart before God, before we met him. And by the way, even after, your old man's heart doesn't get changed. You just get a new person. It says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then you say, now, what chance do we have? I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. If I'm stuck with that, what can I do? Who can do anything with a heart that's desperately wicked? I want you to look at Romans 10 and verse 10. We'll go to verse 8. All right, let's go to verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at this. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The only way God can take, the only person that can take a wicked heart and make anything good come out of it is Jesus. That's it. Amen. That's it. And guys, I know this. Years of being in church, it does no good to not admit that there's problems. This does just no good. Do you know, it does no good to admit to say, hey, don't raise your hand. Let me do this. How many of you have been spiritually stuck before where you know that you are in a rut, that there have been better days spiritually for you in the past, that you're like that? Okay, you know what? To pretend that it's not there is never going to make it go away. What I would do is take that heart right here and I'd lay it out to the only one that can fix it. And I would say, I need you to do something in my heart. If there's a relationship here that you're working, and you can honestly say, the problem is my heart is not in this relationship, do you know what you can do? You take that heart right there. If you're here and you say, I don't have my kid's heart, you know what you do? You take it right there. You know, and you let God do something in that because he's the only one that can do it. That day, Saul, you know, it was just that simple. He said, hey, I'm going to make you a new man. He says, you can't do it. You got to be another man. And so they went and met they prayed for him, put that oil on, whatever. And then he walked out and he said, as soon as he turned away, God put in him a new heart. If you're not saved today, it needs to begin with that. If you are saved today, do you know you can get a new heart? I'm not talking about where I have to baptize you again. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about wherever you're at in here, God can heal that if you'll let him. Okay? If there is something inside where one of those, maybe you have a troubled heart. I can't read that list all over again. Maybe it's a broken heart. Maybe it's a sad heart. Maybe it's a lonely heart. Whatever it is, I can promise you this. It will not fix itself. And the only person that can fix it is the Lord. And if you'll take it to him and lay your heart on this altar, I promise you when you get up, you will walk out of there with a new one. And it's all right. Listen, do you know, people say this all the time. Well, I just don't love them anymore. That is absolutely, I can't even comprehend that. You know what it is? You have a heart problem. And you need to have somebody do something in your heart. And only God can do that. So since you know you're supposed to, then you take that heart to God and you say, I know I'm supposed to feel this, but I don't feel this. I need help. Why don't I feel this? And don't leave till you get it. Because he's the only one that can do it. And you know that verse, he that's begun a work in us, he'll finish it. Well, he's faithful to do that if we'll just let him. If you'd stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to have a time of invitation. If the piano player will come right before we pray this morning, I'm going to pray and we'll open it up for an invitation. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, oftentimes we're taught to keep our feelings to ourselves. We become very private people. We walk around with hearts that have been affected by all kinds of stuff. It's a miserable thing to have to fake it. It's miserable to fake it during a church service. It's miserable to fake it in a marriage. Kids are trying to fake it at home. Lord, there's all kinds of things that are going on, and without a doubt, our hearts have been affected by the world that we live in, and we desperately need you to help us. Acknowledging the fact that you're the only one that can do that, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning and that you'd help people to bring that to the altar. And Father, Lord, if there's somebody here that's never been saved, they've never had that new heart, God, I pray that you would help them to get that today. Their heart is wicked, but God can save them and can change that heart. Lord, thank you for showing us that in the Word. And Lord, I pray that we would leave here truly helped. We're going out in a world that is sick, a society that is hurting. We do not have to be sick and hurting ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take our heart to you and let you do a work in it. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. As the piano comes, if God spoke.